from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Liam Griffin is in town covering the Washington Commanders for the Washington Times. Matt Parris did it for many years, and Liam's now in town doing it for the Times. You can follow Liam on X on Twitter at @ByLiamGriffin. So I'm going to start off, Liam, by asking you the same thing that I just asked the callers for the last hour, and that is, how would you describe Jaden Daniels' first game to somebody who didn't see the game?
I would tell them that it was promising, but less than ideal. Dan Quinn used that word to describe the kicking game over the weekend, but I think that is the way to describe Jaden Daniels' debut. He flashed that incredible scrambling ability, fantastic athleticism, but we did not see him push the ball downfield really at all, outside of a couple deep shots that they weren't able to connect on. It was all short. He had the quickest time to throw in the NFL over the weekend. So I would say that athleticism was promising, but he still has a ways to go in becoming an elite passer in the league.
What did you make of people being open or not being open?
So there's an adjustment to be made for quarterbacks like Jaden Daniels, who are coming from a program. He went to LSU, where he had elite receivers. When he was throwing to them, they were wide open. Right. In the NFL, those windows get so much tighter, and there is such a stark difference between what is open in college and what is open in the NFL. And we saw him kind of double clutch as, well, I could probably make that throw, but he is so protective of the football, and that's one of the things that the Commanders like about him, is that he's not going to turn the ball over. But at the same time, you saw him, there were some plays where Terry McLaurin, for instance, was probably open and he could have threaded that needle, but he opted to tuck it and run instead. So I think that there's just a little bit more progress to be made in Daniels' progression as a quarterback and understanding, yes, I can make that throw. Yes, that guy's open. That is the best option for me on this play.
How would you describe the debut of Cliff Kingsbury as an offensive coordinator in the NFL?
Honestly, I would use the term underwhelming. We came in and he had promised that there was going to be new wrinkles, that he took things away from his year out of the NFL when he was in college. But coming in, it looked kind of static, honestly. We didn't see a lot of work down the field. We didn't see them target the intermediate area of the field almost at all. Most of the big plays were either through Jaden Daniels' scrambles or through screens to Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler. And I just don't know that that's going to be enough to compete with some of these high-scoring offenses that the NFL is putting out now. So I would say that he still has some adjustments to make, just like the whole team does. It's week one. So really what's going to define the season is, okay, that's what you showed in week one. How do you adjust? How do you adapt? How do you show something different going forward?
Is Brandon Coleman ready to be the starter? And what did you make of sort of the 75-25 in terms of percentage of snaps with Cornelius Lucas on Sunday?
Yeah, I think Brandon Coleman is going to be the starting left tackle for this team. He's coming in from such a, you know, unique offseason where he's a third-round draft pick there as well. Maybe he'll start. He impressed during the summer but missed those preseason games. And so what you saw on Sunday was his first real NFL action. And they told us going in that they were going to have this split between him and Lucas. And Brandon Coleman looked like a rookie for a bit there. You know, the Tampa Bay defense flashed some exotic blitz looks, as Todd Bowles is known to do. And Brandon Coleman struggled with some of those. But all in all, I think it was a promising debut for him. And I think we'll see him continue to take starting reps going forward and work into the offense more and more.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, right, this was his preseason game. And, you know, I'm sure they're just easing him into it. Do you think that we'll find out this week that he's going to be the starting left tackle against the Giants?
I very much do. I would be surprised if he is not starting next week during the home opener. We may see Cornelius Lucas work in a little bit during that game. You know, it might not be 100% of the snaps for Brandon Coleman, but I do think that he'll be taking the starting reps during practice this week, and I do think that he'll start the game.
Talking to Liam Griffin, he's joining us via our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Liam covers the team for the Washington Times. Let's flip it. Actually, one more offensively. It's, you know, a conversation that we've all had for months now, and that is after Terry, who? So after Terry and one game, who as a pass catcher?
Well, that was one of the problems in week one was after Terry, it was Zach Ertz. It was Austin Eckler, Brian Robinson. But the Commanders did bring in Noah Brown, and he is still getting acclimated to that offense. And I do think that from a talent perspective, I do think he is the second best wide receiver on this team. I think he flashes yard after catch ability. He's able to make these big chunk plays. I think he'll work in well as that second receiver across from Terry, but he's a late addition. He didn't have that full training camp, that full offseason with the team, and so he might take a little bit longer to come on. But I do think as the season progresses, you're going to see him take on that role.
It'd be hard-pressed to find a worse, you know, defensive performance in week one than Washington's at Tampa. I put that as the clear-cut number one reason that they got blown out on Sunday. What needs to change other than, hey, it's just one week and week one tends to be a head fake anyway?
Well, a lot. And I'm in Ashburn today, and we're going to talk to Dan Quinn about that in just a few minutes. But they need to tackle. There was a concerning amount of missed tackles for the team, not just, you know, past the line of scrimmage, but in the backfield. Baker Mayfield was slipping through tackles. The defensive line was able to get pressure, but they weren't able to convert those pressures into sacks. And it's hard to stop an offense when you have those opportunities and you're not able to capitalize on them. So what needs to change? The tackling needs to change. You have to be able to convert pressures into sacks. And the coverage has to be more consistent. Dan Quinn's defensive scheme is not complex, but it is dependent on elite execution from the secondary, and we did not see that. They looked a little bit confused out there in Tampa Bay during certain plays. They're going to need to be able to feel confident in their communication, in their assignments in the secondary in order to really execute this defense well.
Yeah, I was, you know, there was clearly some confusion in the secondary, and I think you made a really good point, and I it's something that was true. They actually had some pressure. I feel like we've said this for a few years. They had opportunities to get sacks, but somehow the opposing quarterback escaped them. I'm wondering if anybody, and maybe we'll get this tomorrow from Witt Jr., but one of the things that I found to be almost odd and a bit strange in terms of how bad they were defensively overall, giving up points on 7 of 8 drives. The third down was a disaster. Is that their first down defense was exceptional? Like they had Tampa in the game 9 times in 2nd and 10 or longer. That is a very big advantage typically in the NFL to have a team 2nd and 10 or longer 9 times in a game. Did they at all discuss or have they discussed why they were able to get Tampa in good advantageous situations early down in distance and then crumbled after the fact?
No, they haven't. The last time that we were able to speak to Dan Quinn, I was on a flight on Monday. So I wasn't part of that press conference. Yeah, but they were talking about how third down has to change. That was his number one takeaway from the game was that if we are able to even perform average on third down, then he thinks that team would have been in the game. But looking at the tape, I think that's something that he's going to address today is, okay, what did we do well on first and second down, and what did we do poorly on third down? And what I think they're going to come back to is, all right, there were some coverage busts on those third downs where guys are just running wide open down the field. There are those failed, pressures converting to sacks. And then you also have penalties, just really crucial penalties where third and long turns to third and medium or third and short early on, you had a couple of those extended drives, and those lead to points. And so you start to combine those things. You start to combine, all right, if we convert that pressure into a sack, we don't make that silly mistake on a penalty there on third down. You start to build those things up, and I think the third down can be the third down defense can be adjusted at least. That's something you can address throughout the week.
What do you think is going to happen with Emmanuel Forbes here early in the season?
That's tough because he didn't look good, and he hasn't looked good throughout the preseason. Social media made a lot of him getting burned during the joint practices, especially against the Jets. Something's going to have to change with him. I don't know what that's going to be. I don't know if he's going to work back into a more rotational role. Noah Igbinoghene, who was with Quinn in Dallas last season, looked far more comfortable in that scheme. So I think we may see him take more snaps. But Emmanuel Forbes has to get more comfortable in this defense and in Quinn's scheme, or else there's just not going to be a space for him on this roster. And Benjamin St-Juste performed pretty well, given that he's outmatched by Mike Evans. But you need those corners to perform in this, you know, single high cover three, cover one scheme that Dan Quinn likes to run.
Were you surprised that Michael Davis, the guy that they signed in free agency from the Chargers in the offseason, didn't play one defensive snap, considering the issues they had?
Yeah, I was a little surprised that he didn't play at all. I wasn't expecting him to start or even be a, you know, regular rotational player. It seemed like Noah Igbinoghene really took those snaps.
Yeah.
So you have St. Ristol in the slot, who struggled a bit, but that's his debut. He looked like a rookie. I think there is things to like there, and there are things that they'll be able to adjust. But I'm not sure that there's going to be that space for Michael Davis unless Emmanuel Forbes keeps drifting down the depth chart.
You know, there's one other player, and I think I may have talked about him briefly on Monday. I'm interested in 32 Walker, and I have to pull up his snap count. It's probably not significant, but he actually kind of exemplified, I think, what Quinn has talked about all offseason, which is high motor, relentless competitiveness, physical, fast, etc. What do they think of him, and what kind of role could there be for him beyond kind of the reserve, deep down reserve role he played on Sunday?
Yeah, I have it pulled up in front of me. He had five snaps on Sunday.
That was it.
Three
five.
On-run plays. Two on, but yeah, they were.
Yeah, I think he had three tackles on five snaps.
Yeah, no, he was in on a couple tackles, and he did flash that. Unfortunately, with Bobby Wagner and with Frankie Louvu kind of anchoring the center of that defense, I'm not sure that there is going to be that much of a role for him with the way this defense is set up. Dan Quinn likes to drop those safeties into the box. I was actually kind of surprised that Jeremy Chinn didn't spend more time down low, and he was floating out in center field a bit more than I would have expected. So I think that's what Michael Walker is going to be for now, is this kind of rotational player. You'll see him on special teams, but Bobby Wagner is an elder statesman in this league. And so if he, you know, needs someone to fill in for him in those snaps, if, you know, nobody ever wants to see this, but if there are injuries, that linebacker core is not deep. They didn't keep too many linebackers, and some of those rookies, Dominique Hampton and Jordan McGee, have struggled with injuries as well. So I think they're, you know, he is near the top of the depth chart, but Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner are going to eat up those snaps for the starting defense.
Liam, great job. Really enjoyed it. Appreciate it, and keep up the good work. Thanks.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yep, Liam Griffin from the Washington Times, @ByLiamGriffin on X on Twitter. When we come back, our first NFL buy and sell segment of the year. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.